always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome everybody here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider, as well as lead Lakers content creator for Offside, joined on this fine Sunday afternoon, World Cup final Sunday afternoon, by you guys. The way this is working, I have the game on over there. I would imagine most of you guys watching this right now also has the game on somewhere. So we're, for the first half of this thing, roughly, going to watch the World Cup game together. And while we watch this World Cup game together, I'm going to talk to you guys a little bit about the Lu Dort trade that happened earlier this afternoon. So, and there's a lot to talk about, stemming from that Lu Dort trade. We have the Oklahoma City Thunder getting worse this offseason. That is great to see. As they were so far out ahead of the, pack from a talent standpoint, they come back to the pack and the Western Conference, I think, gets more interesting as a result. You have the grand kind of miscalculation, the grander scale miscalculation that the Lakers had and carried into this summer as part of their planning for the summer of 2026. We'll kind of go through that. Jonathan Kuminga, right, with Lu Dort going to Atlanta. That's another wing there who is going to be there in Atlanta. Jonathan Kuminga's options just went down by a team, I suspect, today. So we'll talk about his options out there as we head into yet another week of LeBron decision watch. So a ton to get to on those fronts. We will also, over the course of the show, monitor the chat. I already see that JP248 is in there saying, go Lakers. They are not playing right now, but yeah, go Lakers. Unfortunately, the Summer League Lakers did wrap up their Summer League last night. They lost to the Warriors in the Summer League semis and will not obviously play in the Summer League final there in Vegas. Still, I think a very successful run there for the Summer League Lakers. So if you guys want to talk about that, hit me with a question about them in the chat. And yeah, we'll get on out of here roughly around halftime or so, or whenever we run out of things to talk about from the chat. And I will send you guys off on your World Cup final and Game of Thrones Sunday. It is a stellar Sunday lined up for those of you who have interests that align with mine. All right. A reminder before we dive in, please hit that like button. Please hit that subscribe button. Please turn on notifications both for the show and for YouTube so you get the notifications for the show. Please subscribe wherever it is that you get your podcast, preferably on Odyssey, but wherever you get them is perfectly fine with me. Today's show, as are all of our shows here on YouTube, is brought to you in video form by Prize Picks. Use that promo code HMA and set a $5 lineup of your own, and you will get $50 worth of free lineups on Prize Picks. So check them out. I already placed my selection for this game. I just think if you get plus money for Lionel Messi, that is the smart decision. So that is what I went with, even though I do believe that Spain is the better side. So we'll see how that turns out. But the good thing is if Argentina does pull this thing off, I would be able to pull out those winnings immediately to get them ready for Avery's donut money tomorrow morning, which is, I think, the whole point. All right. Let's dive on in to this Lu Dort trade. According to Shams Charania of the ESPN, the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Dallas Mavericks and the Atlanta Hawks agreed to a trade that would send Lu Dort to Atlanta, Zachary Risache to Dallas, Ryan Nemhard goes from Dallas to Atlanta, and Oklahoma City gets, I think, 3 second-round picks for their part in this as well. Oklahoma City ducks well below the second apron, and obviously lightens their luxury tax payments. So congratulations to their owners. Congratulations to the fans of that team who now get to watch a worse team next season for the sake of their owners' luxury tax payments. The Dallas Mavericks had been interested in Reese Hoshea for a little while, and they get their guy at a very low asking price. So, you know, that's an interesting team that moves, you know, squarely into the Cooper Flag era. What this means for Daniel Gafford and PJ Washington and guys who don't necessarily fit that timeline is going to be interesting to watch as well. And then for Atlanta, they get yet another stellar wing defender, point of attack defender in Lu Dort. I can't wait for the first game between Oklahoma City and Atlanta, so that I get to watch those dweebs in OKC whine and bitch about the way that Lu Dort plays basketball, the way that we have all been telling them he plays basketball, only now he won't be doing so for their team. And so that reaction is going to be really fun to watch. But yeah, the part of this that matters the most in terms of basketball here is that the Oklahoma City this year, they lose Aaron Wiggins. They lose Lu Dort. They lose. Who else did they lose this summer? Who was it? Isaiah Joe. They also lost Isaiah Joe earlier this summer. Those are three useful players. And yes, I agree that, you know, with Trill here in that, Lu Dort was awful in the playoffs. Sure, you're right. However, Lu Dort, Isaiah Joe, and Aaron Wiggins were all part of this overwhelming, like, just absolutely daunting rotation that the Thunder had for the last couple of years or so that led to the ridiculous win totals that they were having year in, year out. So, like, yeah, it's possible that Oklahoma City, you know, finds people to kind of step in and be okay in some of these roles. But there's now question about it, right? Had OKC just eaten the tax payment, eaten the opportunity or you know, the fact that they had to go into the second apron, like had they done those things, the conference would have been squarely theirs again next season for the losing. And yes, San Antonio beat them. San Antonio beat them soundly. But at the end of the day too, right, like seeding and matchups and paths that teams have to take through the playoffs, that stuff really matters in today's league. And now, because OKC isn't going to be so overwhelming with every wave of players that come off of their bench or start for them. Now, it isn't just written in at least pencil that OKC is going to go into next season and we can all assume that they're going to win 60, 65 plus games, right? Next year, it's possible that win total comes down, which means that there might be more wins available for other teams around the Western Conference. And which gives other teams a chance, more of a chance, at securing that top seed. And, you know, for the Lakers, I think they're going to be a good regular season team. And I think it's going to be absolutely critical for them that they have as easy a path through the playoffs as they could possibly have. So if the Lakers do churn out a bunch of wins, and if the win total necessary to get the top seed in the West comes down from whatever it was, 60, however many games OKC won the last couple of years, if it comes down from 60 plus to 50 to 60 or 55 to 60, well, then now all of a sudden that makes things a little bit more interesting for a team that I think is built to win a bunch of regular season games. So, you know, and then also importantly pointed out here by JP248, Lou Dort, Isaiah Joe, and Aaron Wiggins, those guys all go east. And yeah, I think that's also nice to see that the talent level, you know, has dissipated a little bit from the Western Conference. And we're going to see maybe a little bit more balanced talent levels between the Eastern and Western conferences. So, yeah, I think that at the end of the day, from a basketball standpoint, if we're just analyzing this as a basketball trade, and if we're analyzing the Western Conference as a basketball conference, today was a good day for the Lakers. Today was a good day for everybody in the Western Conference that doesn't play in Oklahoma City. And I think that is always worth noting whenever it happens, especially as Shams is out there carrying water for the tax savings and the fact that they got second rounders, despite everybody knowing that they had to shed taxable salary. Like, yeah, sure. Well done. You guys did. It's like Brad Stevens winning executive of the year last year for making the Boston Celtics worse. Way to go, bud. You got further away from a championship and then eventually positioned yourself in a spot where you still had to trade Jaylen Brown, executive of the year, Brad Stevens. So it'll be hilarious if Oklahoma City or Sam Presti wins executive of the year next year for getting second round picks to make his team worse. But end of the day here for the Lakers and for everybody who has to compete with OKC on a night by night basis here in the Western Conference, today was a good day. This was a good weekend. This has been a good off season from that specific standpoint. Now, to give a little bit of credit, albeit partial, Rob Pelinka and the Lakers did see this coming, right? When the apron system was put into place, the Lakers kind of looked around and their front office kind of looked around at other cap situations throughout the league and calculated that this was the year that a lot of these teams would have to make some very tough decisions on their books or on players to clear their books or to get their books more right. And they were correct in that happening around the league, right? A lot of this is going to be the first year in the history of this iteration of the CBA that there will be no teams heading into the season above the second apron. And so the Lakers, seeing that coming and preparing for it, made a little bit of sense. Now, where I think they miscalculated pretty immensely was in the belief that they would benefit directly from those cap conscious decisions. And, you know, the Lakers, you know, they headed into the offseason and they had people asking, like, what would we think about a Lou Dort? Is there a possibility that the Lakers could get an Isaiah Hartenstein? Is that, you know, could the Lakers wind up with a Jaden McDaniels if Giannis gets traded to Minnesota? Is it possible that they get, you know, and the list kind of went on from there. All of these players who might be cap casualties and could become available to the Lakers. Problem is Cam Johnson and those Denver guys come into this, fall into this category as well. Problem for the Lakers was they went into this summer and it became abundantly clear really early on that Sam Presti and you know, Tim Connelly and whoever is running the Nuggets whose name slips my mind right now, but those teams in the West basically did whatever they could to avoid sending cap casualties to the Lakers or even to the Western Conference at all. All of the cap casualties that the Thunder had to deal with this year went east. We'll see what some of these decisions look like for Denver once the Peyton Watson situation is figured out. But as it stands right now, none of those starters went to the Lakers or ever really got close to going to the Lakers. So, like this is where like the and this was a hole in the logic of the summer of 26 plan or Project 2026, whatever we want to call it. Like this was, I thought, a pretty like clear issue with the plan was, well, wait, why would Sam Presti send Lou Dort to the Lakers? Why would Sam Presti send Isaiah Hartenstein to the Lakers? Why would the Nuggets, who hate the Lakers, send Mr. Nugget, Aaron Gordon, to the Lakers? A team that they set, like the Nuggets celebrated beating the Lakers almost as much as they celebrated winning the championship itself. So like, I never really liked this aspect of the plan. I was pretty uncomfortable with this being part of the plan, you know, like the whole, well, we'll benefit from this cap casualty and maybe this guy might become available to us and stuff. Like, I always kind of wondered, well, wait, why would those teams help the Lakers? There are 28 other teams that they could send those players to if they can. And you know, at the end of the day, that's how it played out, right? Those guys who maybe could have been Lakers have all gone elsewhere or not moved at all, right? In the case of Hartenstein, he extended at a lower number, and OKC was able to keep him longer term despite their cap concerns and their tax concerns or their apron concerns. So it doesn't like. It matters in that, like, you don't like to see these kinds of miscalculations from a front office. It matters in that, like, this was an aspect of their summer plans that never came close to coming to fruition. It doesn't necessarily matter in that the Lakers were able to put together a fairly good roster. Regardless, we'll see what comes of this Kuminga situation. We'll talk about that in a bit, but like it's not like it matters whether it doesn't matter or it does matter. Like that is kind of beside the point. I think it's just worth noting these things just for future reference, you know, how unlikely it is that teams, even when faced with some of these apron issues, these luxury tax concerns, how unlikely it is that they're going to help the Lakers if it can be avoided. And you know, just for future plans and for future summers and for other opportunities that the Lakers see down the road, even if they calculate correctly that some of these tax concerns or these tax bills are going to hit the table at any given summer or whatever, you know, Rob, whether it's because of his lack of relationships around the league that are as productive as some of the relationships that other teams have with, you know, other front offices, or whether it's because, you know, it's the Lakers and they are expected to pay that infamous Lakers tax, which I do think is a real thing. You know, the Lakers, I don't think can just bank on, oh yeah, sure, like those teams will line up to help us. No, it's just not going to happen. All right. Let's go ahead and discuss for the 17th straight day, Jonathan Kuminga. So Kuminga, right, heading into the weekend, thought that And by the way, I had heard that the Hawks were open to bringing back Jonathan Kuminga, you know, at a reasonable number, maybe not a number that Kuminga would have liked or Kuminga's camp would have liked, but at a reasonable-ish number, Atlanta would have been somewhat open to bringing Jonathan Kuminga back. They gave up something to get him. They, you know, liked some of what they saw from Kuminga on the court, were kind of frustrated from what I've heard about some of what they saw from Kuminga and his camp off of the court. But at the end of the day, you know, now that Lu Dort is in Atlanta, and he is probably, you know, between him and Dyson Daniels and their all-star, who I'm forgetting, their top wing. Gosh, what's Atlanta's roster? Hawks roster NBA. Jalen Johnson, duh. Like, if they, you know, between those guys and the guys that they have on the wing now, like, they just aren't the minutes for Jonathan Kuminga. The other part of this too is, you know, like, one of the things that I think is always worth paying attention to is how the returns on a trade are framed by Shams Charania, because he's always going to highlight the things that teams and agents tell him to highlight. And one of the things that he highlighted was the fact that now the Hawks, by way of this trade, could go into next summer with upwards of $40 million in cap space. And if you're telling Shams about your potential cap space next year, well, that means that you probably aren't interested in giving Jonathan Kuminga a big contract that cuts into a lot of that cap space. And so, like, you know, whether it's the minutes, whether it's their cap moving forward, like, I just don't see Atlanta as a possibility for Kuminga, which now means that you got you have basically, like, from what I can tell, two teams that might be interested or might make sense for Kuminga now. One of them, obviously, the Lakers. And as I said the other day, I do think that the Lakers and Dort have, like, a rough understanding of what, like, his contract could potentially look like if Atlanta does give the go ahead on a sign and trade deal. The other one is apparently the Cavs, but the Cavs are obviously focused on LeBron James. And if LeBron goes back to Cleveland, then that possibility dries up, which would leave the Lakers, who don't have any free agent spending flexibility. All they have right now is a veteran minimum contract to offer. Not saying he's going to sign for the minimum. I'm just saying, like, in terms of ways that the Lakers could acquire Jonathan Kuminga without Atlanta's participation in Jonathan Kuminga going to the Lakers, you know, the only way that that can happen now, because the Lakers are now an above the cap team, is for Kuminga to just sign a veteran minimum contract. And then, you know, the Lakers would then have to, like, waive one of their other guys to open a roster spot to make that happen. That would also make it difficult, if not impossible, to also acquire Matisse Thybulle without just losing talent for nothing. So, again, and also, by the way, Atlanta is up against it from a roster spot standpoint, unless they would just acquire players for the sake of waiving them. But the Lakers, if they want to trade, say, Jaden Hardy and Dalton Knecht to Atlanta, plus, like, you know, second round draft compensation for Jonathan Kuminga at whatever contract they would be getting him for. Now, all of a sudden, like, Atlanta is, like, looking at that, would have to make some, you know, roster crunch decisions. That means that, like, yeah, they would be trading for Jaden Hardy and trading for Dalton Knecht, and maybe even immediately waiving both of them, which, you know, you would probably have to compensate Atlanta for. So it's a tough spot. Like, the Lakers, according to reports, were offering, you know, 2 years, $20 million to Kuminga. And one of the scenarios could have involved, from what I heard, this is secondhand, but still, they were getting ready to trade Ayton anyway. And one of the things that the Lakers could have done was sent Ayton to Atlanta and then paid Kuminga based off of the sign and trade of Ayton to Atlanta. And the problem there was that, like, Kuminga's camp didn't like the 2 years, $20 million deal. And that those conversations kind of stalled out. Now, I don't know what kind, like, I'm not even positive the 2 year, $20 million deal is really even on the table. If LeBron goes back to Cleveland, because if you're the Lakers, you're saying, what are your other options? If we can get you without giving up that second round draft compensation. And if, like, Cleveland doesn't have a spot for you, if Atlanta doesn't have a spot for you, if there aren't cap space teams that are interested in giving you a significant amount of money or a more significant amount of money than you could get from us. And by the way, you would be going to situations where you wouldn't be starting. Like what are the options that Kuminga and his camp have at that time? So this is, I would anticipate we're going to get a fresh round of reporting and speculation in the coming days about this trade and its impact on Kuminga's market. But for the Lakers, they are now looking at a situation where it's like we went into the last couple, you know, the last week or so, or this weekend, thinking, wait, is it Kuminga or bust for the Lakers? But now the reality might actually be, is it Lakers or bust for Kuminga? Like, what other situations are better than the Lakers can provide, even if it would be at a contract that he wouldn't necessarily like? So I think that, you know, today's trade was good for the Lakers from a basketball standpoint, in that maybe the best team in the conference got worse, but it was also probably pretty good for the Lakers in that it took away a potential suitor for a player that they're interested in. So we will see what the actual ramifications to this might be, but at least theoretically, the Lakers' chances at landing Kuminga feel like they went up a little bit because of this Lu Dort to Atlanta trade. Also, as somebody pointed out earlier, it means that, you know, Lu Dort can't hurt. He won't have four opportunities every year to hurt Luka Doncic, which I'm pretty pumped about. All right, let's dive into some of your guys' questions and comments here. We did get a super comment, which means we get to play the most important sound on the show. Always. All right. So Regulation writes, with ownership changes, could Lakers employees return to pods, i.e. Aaron Larsoul, Mike Trudell, always enjoyed their insights. Mike is tricky because, like, even though the Lakers might not be paying him directly next year, there is that relationship that the Lakers and Spectrum have, and the Lakers are always going to be very aware of the things that Mike Trudell says on any airwaves. I don't know if you guys have noticed this already, but he's been doing, I think he and Geeter are now hosts of the ESPN LA's, like, Lakers show. And so, like, that would indicate that Trudell probably has a little bit more flexibility to do more pods and stuff like that. So I would guess that he'll start making a return to more podcasts and stuff like that. As far as Aaron goes, I do want to have him on more frequently. And the only thing with Aaron is, because of his relationship with the Lakers, as it stands right now, he has to be kind of careful about, like, talking about players on other teams or speculating about players who the Lakers might be interested in. So I always kind of wait for the offseason to shake out altogether before I start bringing him in. And then when we get to, like, the actual season and stuff like that, I could bring him on more frequently to talk about the actual basketball being played. But then again, like once we get closer to the, you know, transaction cycles and as speculation goes up about players that the Lakers might be interested in stuff like that, then I have to be kind of careful about bringing him on because he has to be really careful about players that he can or cannot talk about, you know, because of his links back to the Lakers. So those are somewhat different, but yeah. I think I said this either on Locked On Lakers or on my show, but the Lakers have made pretty sweeping changes to Lakers Digital. So I do think some of those relationships are going to change. And I do think some of those opportunities to hear some of those voices that you guys like that have been a little bit more under wraps under Jeannie Buss will be more readily available on more platforms than before. So yeah, I would anticipate True will make a few appearances on this show. I always like bringing him on during Viking season so that we can kind of talk about them as well as the Lakers. And then Aaron will be on more frequently moving forward. But that was something that he and I are always talking about. All right. Do we have any more super comments? Oh, we did. Greenlight Transport 8320 writes, Lou was always hurting Luka. Luka will now cook OKC. Yeah, I think OKC is going to miss Dort more than it is believed right now. I mean, between Dort and Wiggins and Isaiah Joe, those are three good defenders who could also hit threes. And losing three of those players in a single offseason is difficult even for front offices as capable as Oklahoma City. So that one is going to sting a little bit. And Dort specifically against the Lakers, OKC's defenders are all kind of smaller, quicker, aggressive, like hand checkers and stuff like that. But outside of Caruso, they can be moved a little bit. Dort was easily the strongest defender that they had. Not the physically strongest. And with Luka specifically, because Dort won't be there next year, Luka could at least theoretically spend a little bit more time in the pinch post or the actual post next year. This is part of why I'm continually annoyed that the relationship between LeBron and the Lakers had soured to the point that it did, because not having Lou Dort to deal with LeBron in the post, that's going to be tough for Oklahoma City. So, I do think though that Dort specifically, not being there and, OKC not having him specifically for the Luka matchup, I'm excited from the standpoint that because I consider him a dirty player, and him not being there to throw those cheap shots is great. But on top of that, I'm really excited that, Luka against basically the vast majority of OKC's team can kind of get to his spots just by going through a lot of their defenders' chests. And I think that is gonna come in handy for the Lakers, and not having Dort makes that a lot easier for Luka specifically. So that's a good say what you will about the second rounders that they got or the draft compensation that they got, whatever. It is impressive that Sam Presti was able to get something for those guys whenever we talk about the Lakers having to shed salary, it's what's it gonna cost for Rob Pelinka to get off of Vando's contract and stuff. And end of the day, it is impressive that Presti was able to get something for guys that everybody knew had to be traded anyway. But in terms of the basketball, OKC is a worse basketball team after this summer than they were going into the summer. And that's good. That's a good thing for everybody rooting for other teams other than OKC. Let's see. The next question here comes. I'm going to go scroll up to the top here and see if you guys have any questions up top. Yeah, right. Like JP248. Ha ha ha. Brad Stevens got an award for making the Celtics worse. Yeah. And it would be hilarious. It would be just so thoroughly NBA if Presti got the award for making them worse, too. Clever pugilist, I think is how you're saying it. Exactly. And why would Dallas send PJ Washington to the Lakers? Dallas owns LA's 2029 first round pick. That's a factor too. The reason they like, all right, I started this show talking about how unlikely it is that teams would help the Lakers or how teams will go to any lengths to make it so that they aren't helping anybody in the West, but I think also very specifically the Lakers. And, it was funny because earlier this summer, there was those conversations about PJ Washington. Kobe Price had that report about the Lakers, not being as enthused about PJ Washington. And I was talking to some people there in Vegas, and they were like, it's not that the Lakers aren't interested in PJ Washington. They would love to have PJ Washington. They just don't have the stuff to trade for PJ Washington. So clever pugilist, you're asking this question about like, why would the Mavs send Washington to the Lakers? It's like, it's a moot point whether or not Dallas wants to help the Lakers, because end of the day, the Lakers just don't have enough in their draft cash or in terms of assets to send for PJ Washington. And, maybe that changes over the course of the season. If he struggles, if it's clear that he is just not a part of Dallas's plans, that price comes down. But end of the day, like you're talking about a very, very useful player in PJ Washington, somebody that organizationally the Mavericks like quite a bit, somebody who has had success with Luka Doncic. Of course, the Lakers are interested in him. However, they just don't have enough to trade for him. So it's not a matter of like Dallas would never help the Lakers, which is also true. It's more a matter of the Lakers just don't have enough to even start those conversations. Let's see. We'll do one more question and I will get up out of here because I'm already skipping a World Cup party to be on the air. So this is an interesting one. Tingo Kuman, I think is how you're saying you're at. Adu may be better than Kuminga within a year. So I've been seeing this, like I kind of joked about this with Pete on the air or on the show on Friday, like that whole, are we sure the Lakers just aren't better off just developing Adu? And I like Adu Thiero. I like his future. I like his work ethic. Love his athleticism. I think he has immense potential because of that athleticism, because of that crazy motor that he has. However, any notion of like, really, do the Lakers need Jonathan Kuminga based only on Adu Thiero? I just can't get myself to. Now, that's not necessarily what Tingo was saying here. He's saying Adu might be better than Kuminga within a year. I don't see it because I don't think Adu's shot is going to go far enough to get that much better. But what I will say though is when you have a Kuminga in your organization, it does provide kind of a built-in excuse not to focus on Adu's development to the extent that maybe you should. So I get it. I think it's a little cope-ish, but at the end of the day, you know, I think just from a raw talent standpoint, the Lakers need more talent, specifically at the wing. And Kuminga, especially given how the situation is playing out and given the way his options are kind of dwindling, I think we're going to get to a point where it's like the price on Kuminga is so low, it would be ridiculous not to be interested. All right, we did get a super comment here while I've been talking, and let's just make sure I didn't miss another one up there. Okay, cool. Amon Breyer, 1992, writes, Anthony, with no teams in the second apron, do you think Denver re-signs Watson or lets him go? So I don't think Denver can get to the second apron. I don't think that's even really a concern here. Their concern is luxury tax payments, and you know, Stan Kroenke and the Kroenke family is just really cheap. So I don't think it's really even a matter of like that they're concerned about the second apron. The way I see this playing out, and I think what Denver is kind of doing here is, like, we just saw this with Musa Cisse from Dallas, where the Knicks were like, maybe they aren't paying attention, and they made a restricted free agent offer to Cisse, but it was only for the veteran minimum, and like Dallas is like, that's probably less than we thought we were going to have to pay this guy. Perfect. And they signed, and they just matched the offer really quickly. And I think Denver is probably looking at this Peyton Watson situation because of the lack of cap space out there. And they're kind of like, you know, maybe somebody will make an offer that is so low that we're like fortunate to like, we would be excited about matching that offer. I think Watson's camp is going to be very patient on this front. I think he is like, I always saw him kind of lumped in with like Tari Eason going into restricted free agency. And I just like Watson a hell of a lot more than Tari Eason. So I think he should get paid more than Eason got, but Eason also wasn't pumped about his contract. And you knew that Eason wasn't pumped about his contract because Shams, when he reported the contract number, didn't mention Tari Eason's agent. I don't think Tari Eason's agent wanted his name anywhere near that number. So like maybe that's how it plays out for Peyton Watson. Restricted free agency is a farce, first and foremost. But it also is just not very kind to those restricted free agents. So I think Watson eventually winds up back in Denver. I think Christian Brown goes somewhere to the Eastern Conference as a result of Peyton Watson's deal. And the Nuggets wind up avoiding paying luxury taxes yet again. They have to get ready for Nikola Jokic's next contract, which is going to be insane. And because of that, like, they are already kind of budgeting ahead in advance and in preparation for that next contract. And I think Christian Brown is going to wind up being the cap casualty there. Which again, if he goes east and the Nuggets get worse, that's a good thing for the Lakers. All right. I am going to go ahead and get up out of here. The first half just ended. This is perfect timing. Look how well that worked out. I am going to, as far as like this week goes, obviously I'm going to jump on for breaking news. I do still have a mailbag to catch up on. Harrison is going to be on the show at some point this week. And, you know, like, this is probably going to be one of the last like full weeks of shows that we're going to have, because I have a trip back home coming up, not this week, but the next one. And then like we get into the part of the summer where there's just not enough to talk about to do a show every day. But this is probably going to be your, like, you know, this is going to be a full week's worth of shows to look ahead to. We do have LeBron watch to continue with. We do have Kuminga watch to continue with. And hopefully by the end of the week, we'll have a pretty good understanding of what the Lakers' final roster is going to look like. So until then, and until the next time you guys hear from me, please hit that like button. Please subscribe here to the channel. Please use that promo code HMA on Prize Picks. Subscribe to the show on in its podcast form if that's how you guys are listening. Have a great rest of your weekend. Enjoy the second half of this here game. And I will talk to you guys tomorrow.
Bye, everyone.